really special day in the life of this body. Today is just a real special day. You know, well, what's so special about it? I mean, it's not Easter yet. Yeah, I know. But it is Community Group Sunday. Now, I talked to you a while back about how important it is to have fellowship one with another, to join together and even share a time, whether it's in the Word, whether it's around a table and discussion about what it is to be a Christian. There's a lot of different things. But I want you to start off with this scripture. I wonder if you ever noticed it. It's Romans 12, 3 through 13. And it says this, "For I say," this is Paul speaking, not Ted, "for I say that through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now, there's a good word for us today. "But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." As you might imagine, this may be one of those areas that within the context of church we miss. And there's been a lot of trial and error in putting this together in various churches, various times. There's all sorts of different types of ways of bringing groups together. But I want to concentrate on a few other things here, and then we'll get more into that. "Having then," verse 6, "having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Do you see that? "Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy." Hypocrisy. We all think we know what that means. It's a funny thing. You look in the Greek, and the actual definition of the word is play acting. And when you get that picture and you put it in the context of our relationship with Christ, it really doesn't have a lot of room there, does it? It doesn't really fit. "Let love be without hypocrisy." Can you imagine hypocritical love? Yeah, I bet you can. "Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Now, I want to point out a few things. It's really hard to do these things by yourself. Sometimes we look at the gifts of the Spirit and we say, you know, this would be a great thing to have more of this in the church. It's like what you really want is you really want to either be noticed or to be known by a certain manifestation. And we really want to be known by Jesus, by his love. Now, does that mean we don't believe in the gifts? No, not at all. We want to see those operational, but it's not for in here. It's for out there. It's supposed to be really live. I can tell you that one of the best ways to prophesy is just to say it in a normal, everyday tone of voice to a person who doesn't know Christ. I had this happen to me. It's like, "I've never heard anything like that. You haven't read much of the Bible, have you?" Because prophecy is a funny thing. And we talked about it last week. The Spirit of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. And sometimes we forget about that, but I digress. We're told not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together, and yet we easily fall into a habit of coming into a place as individuals, and then we leave as individuals. We're Americans, after all. It's the individual type of deal. But there's more to the kingdom of God than just being an individual. The Church of Jesus is a body of believers. It is his body. We can't be his body effectively if we insist on remaining separate from each other. And of course, we use all the examples of what would you do if your hands and legs and feet and toes and everything decided to just take off on their own. It might be a little bit of a rough scene. Imagine getting dressed. It'd be a tough deal. And so we can't be his body effectively if we insist on remaining separate from each other. So when you look at this church here, you might see Sunday morning as the only thing we do. But it would be a wrong way of seeing things. Sunday morning is a time we all get to grow in love with Jesus more and more. That's the purpose of it. That's why we're here. If a person comes in, they don't know Jesus, they can become more in love with him. If you've known him for 50 years, you can grow more in love with him. That's the purpose of this time. We worship him. We share the word. We share a few things. But there's a funny thing about it. It's very hard to be intimate with someone when you're in a group of 20 or 30 or 50 or 10 people. It could be difficult. 10 people to 15 people is about max for most. So I mentioned 10 just so you'd perk up your ears. When you look at this church and you see, well, it's Sunday, there you are. One of the things about it is when a person comes on Sunday morning, it doesn't really matter where they start out at. I've often had this vision in my mind. Of course, this is very dangerous. And our children don't even really know what this thing is. But most of us grew up in the time when there was a thing called a merry-go-round. They're hazardous, dangerous, gone. Can't find one hardly. And when you do, it doesn't work the same way as the ones we were used to. The ones we were used to were made of solid metal. And you could get this thing spinning at about 100 million RPM. And then that threw people off, which would mean that they would be hanging onto the center, hit the metal, bounce off, minus a few teeth or something, or a bone or whatever, land out there, and you knew it was okay because they'd do it again. Somebody said something about not having to be smart to have that job, but anyway, that's okay. But it's funny, if you think about a large rotating disc, many of us jump on in a place that we would call evangelism. But some of us jump on in a place called miracles. And some of us jump on at another place entirely, deliverance perhaps. We call them different things. And it doesn't make one's experience less than another. It's not less important. It's not less meaningful. There's no right or wrong in it. But when we get together, every one of us comes from a little different perspective. We have something we can bring to a group of believers. So it doesn't matter where you start out, but we all need to grow in love with the Lord. That oftentimes means we have to get to where we understand what the other person is all about when they came in through that gateway of evangelism. You know, one of the hardest people to understand is a person that comes in through prophecy. They see the world kind of tumbling around. They don't know what's going on, and they reach out and they find Jesus. They don't know anything else. And they can really irritate those of us who know everything. So we want to use Sunday morning to allow us to worship Jesus and to learn about Jesus and make decisions to advance into more love for Jesus. But there's another important part of who we are as a church, and that is loving others. And sometimes that gets lost. When we look at a cross, you see a vertical component and you see a horizontal. And a lot of times we go around through our life as if it's all vertical. Now, I don't think that that's what Jesus wanted us to do. I would give you evidence in that when a certain man came. He was a lawyer, but we won't hold that against him. And he comes, says, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said this, very weird thing to say in that day, and maybe even stranger today. He said, "The greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Notice, he did not say, "Serve the Lord your God." I believe in serving God, don't get me wrong. But you don't enter there. And if you are doing stuff just to serve and you don't love him, I remember another scripture says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You have to love him in order to know him. It helps to know him in order to love him. So there's an experiential part, and it is very, very vertical. But there's a horizontal part to this, because Jesus then went on to say to that guy, again, a lawyer, and we won't hold that against him, "And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself." That's phenomenal. And yet we oftentimes forget about that one. We think, well, you know, we did something nice. We did something this way. We did something that way. Maybe what would happen if it meant something more than that? So another important part of who we are as a church is actually loving others. We love others. We love each other. We love others that are not a part of this group. So this morning, I want to provide a number of community groups. We have some tables set up back there. There's nobody there yet. Don't get up. Take it easy. But we want to provide a number of community groups for you to check out and hopefully be a part of. Now, there's this little dirty secret. And you have to kind of choose who you are. Because one of the things you will hear in church is this thing about, we want everybody to be on board. I want everybody to hear, but I am far beyond the possibility that everybody will be on board. And basically, you can divide a church into fours. Into four parts. The first part, if you mention that there's something, we're going to have bungee jumping for Jesus after church, there'll be a quarter of the church right there. They don't care what's going on. They're just there. Then there's another quarter. And that quarter, they like to think about it a little bit, but they kind of come. So that's 50%. Then there's the third quarter. And they're kind of like, you know, they're, as we have that expression, I'm from Missouri, show me. They want to kind of see if this thing's really going to work out or not before they jump in. And unfortunately, the last fourth don't enter in at all. They never do. So you have to kind of choose which fourth you're going to be. We have very few, it seems, of that last fourth, and this is a generality. It's a stereotype. It's a figure. Do you have to be like that? No, you don't. But you can be. If that's what you want. So when we talk about loving one another and having these groups with these tables and stuff, and we'll actually have people there, not just folders or little brochures or something, but actual people, you can ask questions or whatever you want to do. It's an opportunity for you. But if you're that fourth group, you wouldn't care if the people had wings. And you wouldn't care if Jesus himself was sitting there. You're going to go, no, I don't want any part of that. I don't do that stuff. We started a small group once in a different church, and the oldest lady in the church said to me, oh, yeah, we did this 25 years ago. It didn't exist. It had certain aspects, you know, like it was a smaller group. It wasn't in the church. But beside that, there wasn't a lot of similarity. And she'd done it before. I'm going, that's amazing. I hope that you're not like that. I'd like to invite everybody to be that, you know, in that first group. But that may make you really uncomfortable. But you might want to think about it and pray about it. Be part of that second group. The third one, I think there's a train leaving from Missouri today. And so if you want to go to Missouri and check it out and come back, you can. But the idea is not to be forced into something. I'm not trying to twist your arm here, but I am trying to present to you a real opportunity. We love each other. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what that horizontal arm means there. So these groups are just a small example of all the things that the Lord has for us in community. Do we have every type of group? No, we don't. Oh, if you see one that's missing and you really feel something boiling in you, you may be supposed to lead it. Come see me. We'll see about that. But they're a small example. It's not everything. It's a place to start. It's a way to address something that is going to impact each one of us. Because sometimes we ask the question, why am I not a very good evangelist? Why does my evangelistic effort fall flat? And it's because you never learned to love anybody. I'll tell you something, a little secret. If you learn to love those who are in your family first, it generally is a little easier to love others. You say, I don't like my family. That's called practice. There's a reason for that. I've had this talk with, I think, all of my kids. You know, I don't like these guys, you know. Well, they're there for your practice. God's got a call on your life. Go figure it out. Huh. And they leave. Now, one of the things you never want to do, and unfortunately, you could shoot the messenger. Now, please, in this day and age, that could be literal, and I'm not inviting that. But the idea is, don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm not trying to twist your arm, guilt you into something, or anything else like that. Absolutely not. Be free. But it would be better for you if you loved in reality rather than in a theoretical manner. And sometimes we do that. We love people as long as they're at a great distance. We were watching a little part of Fiddler on the Roof. And if you remember, it's quite an old movie now. But it starts off, and you see all the fellows around the rabbi. And they say, "Rabbi, is there a blessing for the Tsar?" "Of course there's a blessing for the Tsar. May the Lord bless and keep the Tsar far away from us." And we think that same way about each other sometimes. "Lord, I love them as long as I don't really have to do anything with them or be around them." Okay, that's cheap kind of love. That's why your family is such a great place to practice, because you can't get away usually. Now, for some of us, this start might be more of a continuation, and that's cool. And for others, it may be an actual start into a new thing. You've never done this before. That's okay. It's all right. It's very important, though, to join together in loving one another in fellowship with them. Now, there's a third part of who we are as a church. We're not really talking about that much today, but it's also about serving. And so many of the community groups have a service activity that they like to do. There were some ladies involved in a Christmas time sort of event that they were together, like a Bible study, and they went to Ronald McDonald House and blessed the ladies down there. Now, yeah, there's men down there too. They bless the families, I misspeak. But if you know anything about Ronald McDonald House, if you've got a child who's really, really sick, it's a very expensive thing. And then to have a place to stay can be very expensive, so they can stay for free. But there's certain things that it's not like at home. And so our ladies were able to go and provide a little touch of home. It was a neat thing. And they were able to love some of those people. Got news for you. People don't always respond like you want them to when you say, "I went to love them and they didn't like it." Yeah, that happens sometimes. It really does. I love you. Sometimes it happens that way too. But that's another story. No, actually, it's my great delight to share with you, but some of you don't always like what I have to say. I was greatly surprised when there was a young man once, and I was talking about how, you know, I really am kind of a soft guy, and I don't like to tell people straight up, and I don't. He looks at me and says, that's the biggest crock I ever heard. You are, like, brutal." I am? I was totally shocked. I found out that I can go along, and I'm just really easy, but when it comes time to say something, I'm there. I go, "Well, I guess there could be worse things," but I was totally shocked that somebody thought I was really harsh. And then I found out they were right. So if you consider me harsh this morning, it's okay. It's not the first time I've been told that. And if you think I'm just sharing with you, that's good. That's what I'm trying to do. If you think I'm talking to someone else, I'm not. So some groups that we have will actually have some sort of service opportunity in it. Some of them are more oriented to growing interconnectedness and love. And that's essential too. They're both essential. Both are things that Christians should do. Now, you probably have noticed these tables. We mentioned them several times. They're in the back of the gathering place. That's this place, this room right here. And they're also out in the foyer, some other tables. Now, they are not less important tables. We just didn't want to crowd everybody. Each table is a place where you can check out some of the community groups that are just about the greatest thing ever. It's important to realize, though, that a community group can take many, many forms. Some are Bible studies. As Christians, we don't say much bad about Bible studies. Now, we've had bad teachers. All of us have. Turning the most exciting book in the world into the most boring experience you could ever have. A lot of that happens in Bible school, but that's another story. But some are Bible studies and some are book studies. And then some are aimed at new believers. And some have curriculum. And some are more freeform. And some are aimed at the community. You're not the community. You're the congregation. The community is out there. And some of the groups are actually aimed at them. As hard as that is to believe. And then some are more for Christian believers. So a person who doesn't know Christ is not going to completely understand what's going on. So I have an example of this. And that's just an example. There's a video about a community group just for people who are curious and want to know more about this Christian thing and have a safe place to ask their questions. It's called Alpha. Watch this.
Life is busy. Every day we ask questions like, what's happening today? What should I wear? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are bigger questions like, why am I here? What's my purpose? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this? These are some of life's big questions, but there's rarely enough time to think them through. That's why Alpha exists. Alpha is a place to explore life's big questions in a safe and open environment. It's a series of sessions where anyone can share their thoughts and opinions and ask questions without feeling judged. When you come to an Alpha, you'll notice that first, there's food. Whether it's a full meal or a light snack, this is the time to get to know each other in a casual setting. Next, you'll watch an Alpha talk. The talks are created to engage and spark conversation. They explore big issues around faith from a Christian perspective. After the talk is a time for discussion. This is the most essential part of any Alpha. It allows everyone to share their own opinions on the ideas presented in the talks. It's a time for people with different thoughts, beliefs, and experiences to ask honest questions and have open conversation. Every week, there are guests coming for the first time to an Alpha in their community. Alpha is for everyone, regardless of background or beliefs. There's no pressure, no follow-up, and it's completely free to attend. Come and explore life's big questions. Find an Alpha near you today.
So that's one of the types of groups, and that may be very interesting to you. You might say, I think I'm beyond that. Fine. I'm not here to twist your arm. I've had the privilege of going to two practicums with a guy named Wayne Cordero. Wayne's a very interesting fellow. For one thing, he's from Hawaii, so that makes him kind of interesting anyway. But he, in the last practicum I went to, they'd kind of added something. And it was this weird thing. It's called pre-evangelism. Pre-evangelism. You go, I don't think I like that too much. And that may be why you don't have much success in evangelism, because you never learn that pre-evangelism is like being friendly, just talking to people. Getting to know them. And when we neglect that part and we just come up and start saying, you need Jesus, turn or burn, that is not exactly what they're looking for right then. Now, it is true, right? If they don't turn from their sin, it's not a good thing. There's a bad ending to that. It's written about in the book. But that's not where you start with people. If you have a three-year-old and you happen to be a nuclear physicist and he or she asks the question, what do you do, Daddy? What do you do, Mommy? If you start off with all the math, you've missed it because that three-year-old is not going to understand a thing you say. Since I'm not a nuclear physicist, I don't have to have the words that explain that. But in my job, I was heading up communications. Try to explain that to a three-year-old. You know what my three-year-old said? My daddy fixed Rate-A-Dose. And I was the proudest daddy to fix Rate-A-Dose. It was great. Later on, he understands more about what I do. As a Christian, our faith doesn't connect at a collegiate level to begin with. Now, it doesn't mean that you talk stupid to people. But I can remember going when Wayne Cordero was talking to a bunch of people who were, they were tellers and managers and stuff from a bank in Honolulu. And all these people are there, and we're in the back of the room. And he's talking. Now, he's mentioning things that are godly, they're biblical, but they weren't he wasn't preaching the gospel in, you know, going through scripture references. That isn't how that worked. So when we look at that video and you see people, they have the freedom to ask their questions and not be shamed into something. we're in a wild and woolly world, and there's a lot of questions out there. And some of the questions can really offend you. But they don't know Jesus yet. And so their questions tend to be the type of questions that people ask if they don't know Jesus yet. And we think, because we've been a Christian for more than 3 days, that somehow everybody ought to know this. We think that about everything. It's part of our culture. The TV comes on. I'm amazed at some of the commercials. I won't get into that. But the commercial comes on, and they assume that I'm thinking about that commercial because they want to sell me this stuff. I never thought about that in my whole life. I've never thought about it. Then there's the commercials. Have you seen the medical ones? The side effects will kill you. And I'm like, what in the world have we come to that we're selling this stuff? Oh, by the way, it'll make you suicidal. It'll make you want to kill yourself and jump off a bridge. And if you get these thoughts, you want to tell somebody. We're like, tell someone on the way down? It's a scary thing. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of people who feel like they want to end their life. I'm not trying to make fun of that at all. I'm just looking at this. This is a dumb commercial. You think they're in it for altruism. No, they're into it to make money. So, at every table, there is information. And there's a sign-up sheet. Now, the sign-up sheet is kind of weird. It's important for you to know that the sign-up sheets are not just for signing up. They're also for letting the group leaders know that you're interested, just not right now. And that's okay. Now, see, we understand that. Some of you are retired, and some of you work, and some of you are in school, and some of you, I mean, there's all sorts of different things. But no matter where you're at, I've never met a person yet that at about 5 o'clock in the evening, they're going, I know, I want to go hang out for a long time. Well, maybe there's some people. We call them teenagers, but that's another story. Most of us are like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm done with the day. Oh, that's right. We've got to go out and do something. It better work for you, right? It better be something you're really excited about. So that's part of what this is about. You don't have to go to one. And you may go, you know, I really need to kind of plan this and think it through a little bit. It's okay. Because if you indicate you're interested, but just not right now, then we'll probably have that group again in the future. It might be right after this version finishes. It might be down the road a little ways, but we'll see what's going on. Kind of depends on what your needs are and what you're available to. But there's three other things I want you to remember. These are very important. First one, you aren't expected to be in every group. That's impossible. You guys are really quiet. And that might be partially due to the fact that to be faithful, sometimes we have had the understanding we had to be in everything. You can't do it. You'll be over busy. And you know what? You'll never get to know your neighbors. You'll never get to know anybody. Your kids will wonder what happened to you. So you're not expected to be in every group. That's impossible. Number two, you can definitely go into another group after this one ends. You're not pledging your undying attendance. My daughter talks about pledging your undying love. And this is usually due to young people, and they get all Twitter-pated, and they pledge their undying love. But they don't know a thing at this point. It's way too early at the thing. Some of you are laughing, and with good reason. You may have even experienced this. I think perhaps all of us have experienced that one. Some of us are a little older, and we've mellowed, and we've come up with excuses. I mean, reasons why we would do that. The third thing is it's really important to give a group a chance with you. So you really need to go for the entirety of the sign-up. You know, don't go 1 week, oh, I really don't need that. That was the wrong thing. If that's the case, you know, talk to the leaders. Let them know what's going on. But you may find that, you know, like certain groups, they last for 6 to 8 weeks. The MOPS group lasts for a semester. And there's kind of a variance there of different types of groups that do different things. But you really need to go for whatever the length of it is, because otherwise you might miss the blessing. And that would be the blessing of the Lord for you in that group. And a lot of times what we do is we cut it short, we cut and run. We never find out what it is that God wanted us to do. But besides that, you might not be there just for you. You see, sometimes we get into this consumer type of thing. Now, I want to encourage you to think sort of today as a sort of a buffet. Anybody here not been to a buffet? Never mind. Everybody's been to a buffet. This is Nevada. I mean, we have buffets. Paul said, buffet your body. No, he didn't. That's buffet. That's a different thing. We've all been to buffets. And the one rule about the buffet is you don't try to eat all the food. It's there for more than one person. And if you see something you're not sure what it is, you don't have to take three plates full. Take a little taste. Go try it. I didn't like that too much. Then don't have it again. You may pick a group. It's like, you know, I picked this group, but even at the time, I thought it wasn't the right thing. Okay. I get that. That can happen. But by and large, it isn't like you've got sautéed eel or something on any of the tables we have. It ain't that kind of deal. You'll survive any of them. Now, if you don't have preschool children and you want to sign up with MOPS, for example, that's going to be weird because it's mothers of preschoolers. That's going to be really strange if you're a guy and you have no kids. Don't do it. Stay away from there. That's not for you. We have a women's study. It's for women. If you're a guy, don't go. Is that cool? We have men's camp is seeing that, you know, that's coming up. Men can go to that, women can't. We've got a women's retreat happening. Women go to that, men don't. I know that sounds prejudicial to some of you. But we're trying to actually provide a place where you can just be yourself and relax and hear from the Lord. Very important. But the other side of it, did you know that when you have like the women's retreat, there are women that are going there with the express purpose of sharing with you and giving you something? Giving you the word, sharing their life or whatever it might be, sharing worship. Not everybody's coming to receive. Sometimes it's okay to give. And we think in terms of giving as just being money. And that's the least of how you give. It's when you give of yourself. That's really important. And so you might find opportunities by going to a group. You go, I don't know why God wants me to go to this group. I don't know why. I already did this. I know about it. And then you go, you find out that somebody else is there that needs to hear from you. Not preaching. That's usually not the way that the thing they need. They just need you. They need you to love them. So prayer teams, do we have any prayer teams today? It looks like we're kind of shy. We have one person. I think we'll find a few more to stick with you, Catherine. But come on up. Lori, would you kind of just for a few moments be willing to pray? And Pete, would you come up and pray for folks? There's Janice. That's enough. Four for now is enough. If everybody wants prayer, we'll call up some more people. Did you know that any of us can do this? You don't have to have professionals. Isn't that a goodness? Now, if you need prayer, please take this opportunity to come up, ask for, and receive prayer for your specific need. We don't want to ignore you. Okay, because now this is the time. This is what we're going to do. You're dismissed to the tables. Notice I said dismissed to the tables. Don't just wander out. Unless, of course, you're that last quarter of the people and you're not going to come anyway and, you know, you don't need it and all that. If you've already figured out that you don't need any of this, that's amazing because all we had was names on the tables. I don't know how you'd have time to talk to anybody and understand what it is. I want you to ask questions. And I want you to notice that you don't have to go to all of them. Pick one. Try it out. Check it out. Find out about the opportunities that are there. You never know. You just might find the thing that you've been looking for. Could happen. So don't be shy. Go ahead now and visit all the tables. Go. Now, everybody stand. Yes.
I just was going to add one thing.
Speak into my chin. I kind of like this. This is good.
I was just going to say.
This is my wife, by the way, in case somebody was wondering.
Two things. One is nobody's trying to sell you anything at the table.
That's right.
So just that's, you know, you can relax. But the other thing,
keep your wallet in your pocket.
It would be a good idea if you kind of checked out all the tables so you know what this body of believers offers, so that when you go to work and someone's talking about something and your ears pick it up, you go, you know what? You might really like to come to this thing that I just heard about. It's called an alpha group where you can ask questions. So if you have a friend that is a mother of preschool children, That might not be you, but it might be somebody you know. And if you know that these things are happening, then you are a resource to the community and to the people around you. So at least check it out and see what each is about. Might not be for you, but you can share it with somebody else.
I can tell you're of Italian extraction. The hands are moving, and she's ignoring my chin. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, go ahead and stand. And you are dismissed to the tables. Please take advantage of those. There's at least one table in for you. It will take just a second for someone to get there. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may he reveal to you his will.